You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
But you're fearful about the future outcome of that thing. Somebody say, ICE is coming to your house and you ain't got your paperwork. Well, you look like you could be one of them. And all of a sudden now you've got an image of something based on the information that you just received. You know, isn't it, you know, my wife, we're just talking not too long ago. How many different languages and dialects there are in the world today? Each one has a certain sound, but the individual can interpret that sound that they hear with a meaningful message because that's their language. But if you hear it, you'll be like, I don't understand the words you're saying. Well, Satan's information got to become a foreign language to you. But God's word has got to be established as the language of the kings, the language that we understand. For the Bible said, for your citizenship is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior. The Bible tells you and I that we have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we have been translated over into the kingdom of his dear Son, and that sin no longer has dominion over you. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. But until you have the reality of this in your mind, you're still tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes your way. And James tells us something very interesting. He said, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. In other words, you got to be resolute in your faith because the enemies, see, when the Bible says, you know, when they tell you that the enemy's after your soul, what is your soul? Your mind, your will, and your emotions. This is what he's battling the control over. And he uses circumstances, situations, and other people to try to convince you to side with something that's opposite of what God has already said about you. And we got to know what things have been freely given unto us. We got to know that healing is the children's bread. We got to know that God's will for our life is that we should prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. We got to know that the Bible said no good thing will he withhold from those that will walk upright before him. We got to know that the Bible said we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, and that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. What are we saying about our condition? So understanding the warfare. Warfare began in Genesis. It was in Genesis when Satan deceived the woman and the man in the garden, and they partook and became under the authority or the condemnation of sin. But like I said, God is such a responsible father. He knows that if it weren't for him, sin wouldn't even exist. Because God told Adam and Eve, he said, of all the trees of the garden you may eat freely of, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that is in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it. Then he said, for in the day that thou eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Now, if God had never said that, death wouldn't exist. So what did God do? God put enmity between the serpent seed and the woman's seed. Well, we know the woman doesn't really carry a seed. But he's talking about the seed of the woman, which was going to be Christ, which was delivered unto her by the Holy Spirit. When he came unto Mary and said, Mary, thou art highly favored. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow thee, and that which shall be conceived in thee shall be called the Son of God. This is the seed that came to bruise the serpent's head. The warfare was prophesied back then. And the enemy tried all the way down to the line to get control over this earth, walking to and fro in earth. You know, we got down to one man, just like God said, you consider my servant Job. But also, we got down to one man whose name was Noah. But Noah found grace in the sight of God. The warfare always continued all the way down. At the birth of Moses, they killed all the kids trying to get Moses. At the birth of Jesus, they killed all the children 2 years of age and under trying to get Jesus. And when they finally got him, see, the enemy is like a hammer, and he thinks everything is a nail. He said, if we kill him, we can stop the prophecy from going forth. If we kill him, but the Bible says that if the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Son of Glory. They would not kill Christ if he had known that through him, through his death, he was going to bring forth many sons and daughters unto God. And so when he killed him, he thought that was a victory. But really it was his demise. Because when Jesus descended into hell, the Bible said he went into hell. He spoiled principalities and powers. He defeated them. He made a show of them openly, triumphing them over them in it. He took the keys to hell and death. He rose victorious on the third day and said, now all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Satan is defeated. God is exalted and Jesus is Lord. So understanding that there's a warfare, understanding your positioning and your mindset concerning war, your attitude will determine how well you fight. If you just think everything is Murphy's Law, that whatever will happen, just my bad luck. No, it's not it at all. There's a lot going on in the unseen realm that you don't see. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus authorized us and has given us power and authority over all of the power of the enemy. So you got to know that you have the right and the might to use the name of Jesus, that you have already pre-qualified and been selected, not based on how good you are, but based on how good he is. See, the Bible says you and I, we were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then when he said, be ye holy, for I am holy, is not something that you can aspire to become holy on your own. It was by the decree of the king, be ye holy. Now you are. Why? Why? Because you're in Christ. Christ is holy, righteous, sanctified, separate from sinners. Your whole designation changed the moment you got saved. You went from sinner to saint. There are no sinners in heaven. For somebody to tell you, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace is an oxymoron. It's like saying jumbo shrimp, you know. So you either you're a saint or you're a sinner. When Jesus comes back, he comes back, he said all of the saints with him. And so you got to know that you have been freely justified by his grace. So the enemy can't use your past to try to condemn you to keep you from moving into your future. The enemy always want to bring up your deficiencies and the things that your shortcomings and all of the things he wants to try to use to try to do to disqualify you in your mind. But you have been freely justified by his grace. You're in right standing with God right now. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, and Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's liberate some people. Let's let them know they don't have to live under the thumb of the devil. They can have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Remember, some people even talk about, well, baptism is what saves you. No, it's not. Baptism occurs after salvation because you got to first believe. And once you believe and accept Christ, then that qualifies you now to be baptized. And baptism is a symbolization of the death, burial, and resurrection. That's why we don't leave you under there when we baptize you. We bring you up. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, these are the signs that's going to follow those who believe. Then it says, so that afterward, after the Lord has spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. And so now it's on us. He has empowered us. He has employed us. He has equipped us. He has deployed us to be the change agents in the earth. And the Bible says, and they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word, not confirming the person, confirming the word with signs following. He's going to back his word up. He'll confirm his word when you speak his word. Not old wives' tales. Well, you know, God always answers prayer, but sometimes it's no. Show me that in the scripture. All the promises of God are yea and amen. And if you don't know the things that are freely given to you, then I can talk you out of it. When Jesus was in the wilderness, see, something happens when you're validated by God. See, when Jesus got baptized in the Jordan, the Bible said that as a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. After that, the Holy Spirit descended on him in the form of a dove and rested upon him. Then the Spirit drove him into the wilderness to face his challenge with Satan. Just like Job had to have his challenge, Jesus had to have his challenge too. And the first thing that the devil tempted him with was what? Wait, what was he tempting him with? Huh? Nope. His identity. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. If you don't know who you are, and see, all Satan was trying to do was to get Jesus to perform for him, to obey him in any slightest of the detail. But Jesus, knowing that he is God manifested in the flesh, St. John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, knowing who he was, he made this statement. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, in retrospect, what he just told Satan, ain't nothing you say gonna work, only that which I say. Only that which proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. So even when Satan quoted scripture back to him, he said, it ain't gonna work. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And so the warfare comes, but you have to understand the frequency of the voice. You got to know when it's God or when it's the devil. Some of y'all, I mean, it's just like I've been threatening on my job. I think I told y'all that. You know, because what I do, you know, I'm an inspector and I go out from house to house. I run into different people, different conditions. I pray for people with cancer. I pray for people that had other issues going. People ask me to pray for them. Well, that word gets back. They told me if I catch you praying for anybody, it's immediate termination. You ain't going to catch me, but anyway, I ain't going to stop praying either. Not if God unctions me. I don't go out intentionally just to, but if there's a need. See, the anointing that God has on your life is for service. And the Bible says it is better to obey God than to obey man. And so if God is my provider and he supplies all of my needs, then I'm not afraid of losing a supply source because God got another supply source. And he'll supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. And he knows what I have need of even before I ask. He said, but go ahead and ask that your joy might be fulfilled. Joy in receiving of the thing that you have asked God for, seeing the manifestation of it. And so we have to know that God has already granted us the power and the authority. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Jesus said, behold. He said, I want you to take note of this thing. Behold, I have given you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. This is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to us. He ain't pulling our leg. He ain't making promises he can't keep. He said, nothing by any means, no matter the method, no matter what it is, nothing by any means shall hurt you. He said, notwithstanding, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your name is written in heaven. Your birth certificate is in heaven. You belong to your heavenly Father. He said, in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the spirit. That's the first time we see Jesus dancing, having a good time. He rejoiced in the spirit. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. You got children, and when your children start behaving like you, it makes you happy. But if your children are always listening to the people up the street, but Bobby's mama said, no, don't be bringing that up in here. Don't be bringing that up in here. I want to hear what they doing or what they said. You need to listen to what I say. And if you can't listen to what I say, then you need to get your hat. If you're grown, be gone. But God, he knows us, so he's trying to train us. See, when you got saved, when you accepted Christ, the Bible said you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You were sealed until the day of redemption. God's got you. But there's a filling that comes, and the anointing or the filling is for service. That's when the unction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Our authority comes from a relationship that we have with Jesus Christ through the shed blood and resurrection from the dead. We are the children of the Most High God, authorized by God the Father in the name of his Son, Jesus, to carry out the work of the ministry right here in this planet. We are God's change agents, God's authorized agents to suppress and to destroy the works of the devil. You must know Jesus Christ for yourself in a revelation of him. Not just a relationship, but a revelationship. There's a lot of people, oh, I know the man upstairs, but I don't really know nothing about his character. Don't really know nothing about God. But when you got a revelation of who he is and who he is to you, it changes your posture and position. It lets you know that you're not just mere men and women living, waiting to die. No, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. You are an eternal creation, created to be just like God. The Bible says it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we're going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Matter of fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says, behold, I show you a mystery, chapter verse 51, that we shall not all sleep or all die, but we shall all be changed, talking about the believers, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. 1/1100th of a second. That's how fast the change is going to take place. At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, the living, shall be changed. In other words, the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And the Bible says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a change going to take place. You have got to be sold out for Christ right now. You can't be vacillating between two opinions. You got to be for him, sold out. Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way. You can't let your circumstances change your mindset concerning that. Because the Bible said, when the Lord comes, shall he find faith on the earth? See, the rapture is when the church is caught up, taken out of the way. The rapture is for the bride of Christ. We're going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. But those that are left behind that make it through will be called the tribulation saints. And they say that they are in the temple of God day and night. They serve God in his temple day and night. We're not temple servants. We are the bride. Heirs and joint heirs. And see, you have to understand, you got to read the Bible. You got to let God give you the revelation of who you are. Understanding the warfare that we're in. Positioning yourself to deliver the bound. to let the oppressed go free. We don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. And the darkness is getting deep. The darkness is encroaching on us. But God said, listen, arise and shine, for your light has come, because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Darkness may cover the land and gross darkness to people. He said, but those that know their God will be strong and do exploits. It's time for us to come to a realization that we're not just in this thing just to get along. There are people that God has placed in your sphere of influence, their soul is hanging in the balance. And you got to be bold enough, courageous enough, and wise enough to minister unto them the message of reconciliation. God's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Not some. He want all. He know everybody's not going to be there, but you got to be the one that's going to be sowing the seed no matter what the ground that it falls on. They used to tell the story back in the day about a man named Johnny Appleseed. Y'all remember that? Go around sowing apple seeds everywhere, you know. Now you can't even find an apple with a seed in it almost no more. Genetically modified everything, you know. And this is a strategy. If they can take away all of the seeds, then you cannot reproduce. And if you can't reproduce, then they can control the food supply. If they can control the food, they can control you. Everything's going somewhere. This is no fantasy. We talked about it years ago, but look at what is going on today. It's a strategy going on. Yeah, but God's got a plan too. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. They asked Jesus, was he going to restore the kingdom of God at this time? He said, it's not for you to know the time or the season that the Father has placed in his own power. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, one thing about a witness. See, you can be a witness and show up in court and testify that you might have saw something. They said, do you have any proof? Now, all I got is my testimony. But if I show up, and not only do I have a testimony, but I got a video, and I got proof, then I got the evidence. My witness is substantiated. Jesus will not only give you the testimony to be a witness, but he'll give you the signs to confirm it. He said, for the Lord was working with them, confirming the word. He'll make you a witness, but he'll also give you the evidence that you need to sustain it. But you got to step out on faith. You got to lay hands on the sick. You got to minister the word to somebody. You got to see a soul say, what must I do to be saved? You got to be willing to lead a soul to Christ. You got to be willing to disciple them afterwards. And it might get your hands dirty a little bit. Jesus went to a great extent for us to be saved. Somebody labored with us coming up. Somebody taught us coming up. Somebody put that word in us coming up. How many of us are making a deposit in somebody else's life? See, there are five crowns that God is going to be giving out during the time when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the rewards. And one of those crowns is called a soul winner's crown. And the souls that you save are going to be made up of the jewels in your crown. How many jewels you got in your crown? How many jewels you want in your crown? See, salvation is a free gift. We're saved by grace through faith. That's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the work that we do for the kingdom, there's a reward. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give unto every man according to as his works shall be. So we have the ability to receive a blessing from the Lord based on our meritorious service for God. We don't do it for works, because God judged what sort it is. Because the fire is going to determine. It's going to be broken up into six categories. Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubbles. But the fire of God will burn it to determine if it's made out of some, really some substance, or if it's just fluff. Is it a gold-plated wooden chair? Well, the heat gonna burn it up. It may look good, but the heat gonna burn it up. But if it's pure gold, it's gonna come out that way. You know how the refiner knows when he's refining gold or silver? Do you know how he knows when it's ready? They'll put that gold. See, I used to work in a steel mill. I used to work in the open heart. And we used to melt steel, and that nasty stuff like old foam rises to slag. They would dip it off and throw it off to the side. But guess what? When they're refining the gold, the same thing. All the impurities rise to the top. And the guy that's doing the refining, he keep on skimming it off the top. He'll let it heat up some more. He keeps on skimming it off the top. The only way he knows that the gold is pure is when he can look into the pot and see his own reflection. When God can see himself in you, none of you and all of him. When you learn to die to yourself, Paul said this way, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. He said, Paul said, I labor until Christ be formed in you. And so that means that we have to die to ourselves and make his agenda our prime agenda. And God will bless you as you go along that trail that he sets you on. That street called straight. He'll bless you. But when it's all about us, self-absorbing, if it had all of it about Job, Job would have cracked when he lost all this stuff. Because some of us were just in it for the stuff. And when he lost his children, he really would have lost it. Now, I don't blame his wife for what she said, because she lost just as much as he did. Folks would ask me, well, all right, well, God restored Job with all of his children back. That means his wife had to have kids, 10 more kids. Or did they use another wife? We don't know. But that could have been part of the punishment. You have 10 more. But anyway, God restored them. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. Because we do that car joke, but it wasn't that Honda Accord they were all in. No, but they were all in one accord. They were all with one mindset in one place. Now, Pentecost came every 50 years, and the Pentecost would come. But what struck me, he said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. See, this wasn't about an event. This was about an advent.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, the fresh manna. Thy Word is a Lamp, the fresh Word of God, children of God.
Thy Word is a Lamp, yeah. Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what